Stephen Godfrey, do you recall seeing some talk about the Lakers bubble title earlier this summer in July of 2025?
Yes. I can't remember what it was in regard to. Probably not counting, or it shouldn't count as much.
So I'll give you the full context, and I'll give you the listener the full context as well. This is from Daryl Morey, the Sixers president of basketball operations, although he wasn't at the time. He was working for the Houston Rockets, to The Athletic in July of this year. Quote, had the Rockets won the title, I absolutely would have celebrated it as legitimate, knowing the immense effort and resilience required. Yet everyone I speak to around the league privately agrees that it doesn't truly hold up as a genuine championship. Perhaps the lasting legacy of the NBA bubble is that the NBA should be proud of its leadership at both the beginning and end of the pandemic, even though the champion will forever be marked by an asterisk.
Asterisk. Okay.
So to give you a little more context here.
Yeah.
This was not just Daryl Morey saying, hey, you know, I'm bored this summer. I think I'll talk some shit about the Lakers.
I don't like LA.
This was part of a bigger piece The Athletic was doing around the five-year anniversary of the bubble season. Like, there was some context to this. Okay. He was also not the only exec that they talked to for this piece.
Was he the only one that, like, went on record, or was he just the spiciest?
No, he wasn't the only one. He was the spiciest. He was not the only one who went on record. And some execs in this same article suggested that the winning a bubble title was actually much harder than winning a regular title.
Okay.
Some sort of like fell in the middle where they were like, it was harder in some ways, but on the other hand, basketball players hate flying. You didn't have to do any of it during this season. Maybe during this postseason, maybe that's a net wash.
I am a basketball player.
And I'm going to give you one more quote.
Okay.
This one's from 2020. And this is from a source I don't think you or the audience is necessarily going to expect. This is Pat McAfee talking about college football and the college football playoff in 2020.
Okay.
I think that asterisk will actually lead to people having a lot more respect and appreciation for the players, coaches, athletic trainers, equipment staff, everyone involved buying in and getting a season off the ground to begin with. If I got a national championship ring and it had an asterisk on it, a big-ass asterisk on it, I would wear that thing anywhere, and I would not give a single damn about it.
Every rustle in the trees, a potential snare. Close my eyes and block my ears. Cut the cord and leave me here.
Stephen Godfrey, welcome to Phantom Island, presented by Home Field.
Presented by Asterisks.
We're going to talk about the COVID titles, the bubble. I say the bubble titles, but in some cases, there was no bubble at all.
There's none.
I want to sort of unpack these as a whole, because I think now, with the benefit of some distance in time, the way we collectively look at championships won in the 2020/2021 season, it's very different from sport to sport and from champion to champion. And I want to see if we can try to understand why that might be.
Before we get started,
yeah.
Can I ask, the 2020 NBA bubble, what I feel like is maybe the most talked about. The format, I have some stuff pulled up, but if I had to close my eyes, I couldn't. I know it was like a bracket, sort of similar to March Madness.
Yes.
I know that it was all held in one place in Florida. Orlando?
Yes.
Okay.
At Disney? Disney. But yeah.
Okay. I don't know how many teams made it. I don't know if they used the standings of the previously like suspended season.
Right.
Can you walk me through the setup of the NBA bubble? Yeah. Because that one really does seem to get talked about the most.
So at its most basic, the only thing that really changed was this is where the NBA introduced the play-in game. The play-in game is now part of the postseason.
Oh, yeah. I know all about that. Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. But at the time, this was sort of a novel thing. They played some, I'm using air quote, regular season games in the bubble before the playoffs started. Some of that was for seeding. Some of that was to figure out who would be in the play-in games. And I think some of it was also like, hey, let's not go right into the playoffs with everybody.
It's a preseason.
Totally
it's
cold.
Just warm up. Yeah, yes, yeah. Get some rust off. Yeah.
But other than that, it was not really, other than the play-in game and the fact that they're all, nobody's traveling, there's no such thing as home court advantage.
Yeah.
Because also there were no fans at these games. Mm-hmm. It was basically the same as the NBA postseason exists in its current form.
Okay. I remember, did the previously, I would also point out, maybe, I don't know if anybody needs to remember, look, a lot of people had a hazy effect during COVID. Mm-hmm. That's not even a joke.
Yeah.
But the NBA was sort of the day that the world noticed COVID was when Rudy Gobert had, like,
yes.
that and, like, Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson, and then there was, like, one or two other things where in the span of a few days, it was like, oh, this is a real thing.
Yes, I think, like,
that's, like, stopping the world.
The two ways in which the sports world, this was most visible, was the Rudy Gobert press conference that you're talking about, and I think there was also a game that they either didn't start or stopped in the middle. They pulled everybody off the court, I think, because Rudy Gobert had tested positive. But the other thing that happened, which is there's not a bubble championship to talk about, college basketball didn't hold the men's or women's tournaments.
They stopped.
They just, yes. In some cases, like, they stopped in the middle of conference championships, I think. But, like, no, there was no March Madness for the men or the women. And that was, like, probably the biggest immediate impact that the pandemic had on sports at that time that we're talking about. How many games, NBA season's 82 games long. Okay. How many games do you think the Lakers played in the regular season portion of their 2019-2020 schedule?
Man, as an avowed NBA idiot, the season's like October-November start, goes through June into the playoffs, 82-game regular season.
Yeah, 82 games.
I don't know if it's the halfway mark, but I don't know. I would say somewhere in the neighborhood of 35 to 45.
71.
What?
Yes.
I'm confused.
Yes. I mean, some of this is that they added some later, but, like, they played some in the bubble before the regular season happened.
Ah, okay. But okay. And you're including the bubble games.
The bubble. Yeah, I'm including the non-playoff bubble
okay,
games.
Okay,
yes. Okay. So, like,
so in sum total, you're pretty close to a full campaign is what you're getting at.
And so here's what I want to do. We're not just going to talk about the Lakers today.
Yeah.
But I have three ways that you can think of a postseason or a COVID season. And I want to use those to frame how we talk about the Lakers and how we talk about the other teams that won championships in this stretch. First question, which I've already sort of tipped off here. How much of the regular season did you complete? The Lakers played about 86% of their intended regular season schedule. And they were also the first place team in the West. They were up by 3.5 games. They had, like, they had booked their playoff ticket long before the COVID thing even started in the NBA.
Okay.
So, like, there was no question that this was going to be a playoff team. This was probably going to be a pretty highly seeded playoff team if things had proceeded as planned.
So the Lakers, had everything been normal, would have been a title favorite that year, and we're not looking at a situation where some team weirdly just sort of fell into contention.
Right.
Okay.
So let's. All
right, I'm good so far.
Let's swing to the league that had the least percentage of its games canceled, or least percentage of its games fulfilled, rather. How many games do you think most baseball teams had this season
that they
actually completed?
Yeah, it's crazy low. I have a lot of vivid memories of watching that playoff in 2020. I think it's something like 60 to 70.
60 yeah. games most. So most baseball teams, including the Dodgers, who won this World Series, had only played about a third of their schedule.
Yeah.
By the time we got around to figuring out what the postseason
was. Another modified playoff format, too, that year.
Yes.
The one that sticks out to me is the Florida Marlins, or Miami Marlins, whatever, made the playoffs.
We're going to get into that. That's a different category I have.
More Marlins content.
One league, and only one league, had the whole season go through, no games canceled whatsoever. Do you know which one it was?
Yeah, that would be your God-fearing, America-dominating cultural export, the National Football League.
Yes. Lots of silly things happened. Like, I was reminded of, I think it was a Broncos game where all three quarterbacks on the roster tested positive for COVID, so I think a wide receiver played quarterback for Denver.
Sweet.
That game, but, like, boy, the Shield made sure.
Yeah.
Every game on the schedule happened. No,
the Shield had the most amount of time, too.
That's true.
So if the world stops mid-March, they didn't have to really start playing football until September.
They could. And they also have the advantage of they only have one game a week for each team.
Yep.
Like, there's a little more, there's more flexibility in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
The WNBA, the whole season for the WNBA ended up being played in a Florida bubble, not in Orlando.
Okay.
And as a result, about two-thirds of the season, they had to compress the season. Normally, the WNBA season at that point is 36 games.
Okay.
They played a 22-game season that year.
And that seems okay.
Yeah.
Given
yeah.
our circumstances and our story, yeah.
National Hockey League. Do you recall, Tampa Bay Lightning won the Stanley Cup this year. Do you remember how many regular season games they played, and most teams were around this range by the, when before we went into the playoff?
Well, it would be closer to the NBA, right?
Yes. 70 games.
Yeah.
Just so right around where the Lakers were.
Yeah.
And the Lightning were second in points in the Eastern Conference when everything shut down. So again, a team that was... Yeah. Going to the playoff, probably going to get a pretty good seed.
Was that called a bubble, the way the NHL? Because they finished in, they used two facilities the way Major League Baseball did.
Yes.
And Major League Baseball, I believe it was Dallas and Houston. Is that right?
I have to go back and check.
And then I believe the NHL used Toronto and Montreal.
Yes, they used two Canadian setups there. I don't think they called it a bubble in part because there were two and not one.
Yeah.
But it certainly had a lot of the same features. And it was... restrictive in many of the same ways that the other bubbles were. And last, the sport we talk about a lot on the show, college football. Alabama won the national championship this year over Ohio State. How many regular season games did Ohio State play that year?
Well, this is a spoiler because I know I listened to you research this episode. It's either six or seven.
It's six, yes. Yeah. They got
six including the title game?
No,
six regular season.
So by the time they got to the title game, because this is in the four-team era,
right.
they played eight games altogether.
Okay.
Now, they didn't win, and Alabama was 10-0 heading into the playoff. By the time they won the national championship, they were a 12-0 team. And there are enough 12-0 teams in college football history that doesn't feel weird, even if for the time period we're talking about. It is not quite a full regular season.
We might be biased because of our backgrounds, but college football, given 5 years of hindsight, still feels like that was the weirdest COVID season because there was no organization.
Yes.
And again, as we say over 1,000 different podcasts, there's no central governance in sports. So it was like some people were doing one thing, some people were doing another.
Right.
By comparison, it makes the NBA bubble look really efficient and well-planned.
It makes almost all the other sports look pretty efficient and well-planned.
Even Major League Baseball, and that's saying a lot.
6-0 Ohio State got into the playoff over 8-1 Texas A&M, 9-0 Cincinnati, 11-0 Coastal Carolina. I am not going to sit here and tell you the Chanticleers should have made the playoff over the Buckeyes.
I will.
But it does look strange from a distant view about like, wait a second, one team went 11-0 and one team only went 6-0 and the 6-0 team got to go. That's weird. I think we can say it's weird.
You know what's crazy though? That's not even top five like playoff snub conversations all time.
Probably
that's how jacked up that one sport is.
Yeah.
But yes. Among many things, the scarcity of Big Ten games played total. I'm not going to put you on the spot. I would say that the volume of Big Ten games played in 2020 was lower than probably the other power conferences.
Well, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 were the last two conferences that said, okay, we're going to have a season at all. Like at first, they just said, we're not going to do it.
We're going to sort of have one.
And then the Big Ten, most notably, like the Ohio State-Michigan game didn't happen because I believe Michigan said they had too many COVID positives on the roster. So Ohio State had more than six games on the schedule. There were just several games that didn't get played because somebody said, you know, we can't make it work.
I would guess, there was a number someone had estimated a while ago that it was something like over 100. If you count, and not even the initial 2020 schedule that came out in like March and the preseason guides, just the amended scheduling and rescheduling, something like 100 college football games.
That's probably right.
Were intended and then not played.
Yeah, that's probably
over 100.
Yeah, yeah. It was a messy, messy time.
It really was.
To put it gently. Okay, so if I'm just looking at that, how much of the regular season did you complete? The Lakers work out fine. It's not the NFL, but again, when this happened was very different for the NBA than the
So far, NFL that number happened. You gave me really, I'm very confused as to why anybody would call this into question. But right. Again, NBA idiot, so right. I'm here to learn.
So here's my second way to think of it.
Okay.
How different was your playoff structure?
Ah.
All right. So let's start with college football this time. No change. Yeah. There's only one weird thing. Do you remember the one weird thing that did sort of impact the playoff about how teams were? I'm going to try to hint here. The ways in which teams were arranged in the COVID season that was not true before and has not been true since.
That's a broad setup. Was it some conference championship games happened and some didn't, or
it does involve a conference championship game. It involves Notre Dame playing in the ACC championship. That's
okay. Yeah, yeah, it's yeah. I would have gotten there eventually. Yes, definitely.
Okay, so college football
just as jacked up as usual.
That's right. Let's talk about hockey. Hockey expanded the playoff to this year. Usually, at this point in time, hockey playoffs were usually 16 teams. They expanded to 24 teams. They did this seeding round robin for the top four in the East and the West.
I remember.
And none of these changes affected whether Tampa was going to get in or not. As I sort of said, like, they were second in points in the East. Like, it's not like expanding the bracket got them a spot in a playoff that they otherwise wouldn't have received. But it did lead to a lot of weird situations, like 12 seed Montreal knocking out 5 seed Pittsburgh on Tampa's side of the bracket. The Canadiens would not have, like, if you just stopped the regular season and played 16-team playoff, they would not have been there. So it did create
There's no such thing as a 12 seed. There's two 8 seed. Exactly. Yeah.
So it did create some, like, weirdness in that regard. They also reseeded after each round. So it wasn't the bracket we're used to seeing where it's like, okay, move through your spots as you approach the Stanley Cup.
Again, not a crime.
No, one
might argue all sports should reseed.
No.
In brackets.
But it was different in some ways, and I will at least acknowledge that.
Yeah.
The NFL only had one change, and it had nothing to do with COVID. This was the first
extra regular season game.
In the postseason specifically.
Oh, it's the extra wild card.
That's right. Yeah. This is the
first. But that was already intended, right? Yep,
this was the first year of the wild card spot. This was something that the league had already bargained with the players. And Tampa wasn't even the last team to get in. They were a wild card team, but they weren't the last wild. I think they were the first wild card team in the NFC. So it's not like that was like, oh, well.
We've also seen sub 500 teams make the playoffs in normal years in the NFL. The last seed to make it into the NFC as a wild card when you were the New York Giants, who ended up winning the Super Bowl. Yep. So that would probably not have been a weird sort of reaction. I don't think
the Bucks did do one unusual thing to make it to the Super Bowl that I know no NFL team had done before that, and I don't think any NFL team has done since.
Let Tom Brady harvest the blood of small children.
That has happened before. They won 3 road games, and this is where the COVIDness of it. Maybe you can say it has a little bit of an impact, because the biggest crowd they faced in terms of road attendance was in the NFC Championship against Green Bay, where there were 7,700 people on hand. Not big.
No.
That said, Green Bay is still outside in winter during the NFC. Yeah. Like, there are parts of being
playing COVID a road didn't game. Make the weather change.
No, and it's also harder to. I'm sure it's harder to travel. And I'm sure travel sucked during COVID for professional teams in ways that if you got to play at home, it didn't. So it's a little bit of a tweak, but I don't know that it's like, that's clearly why the Bucks won that Super Bowl.
No, I think we're good so far.
Major League Baseball. Normally, 10 teams make it into playoff. This year, 16 teams made it in.
Yeah, it was real dumb.
And all of them had to participate in a best-of-3 wild card round. We're used to the wild card round sort of being like, well, okay, this is for the dregs that sort of, like, you know, barely get in. And sometimes sometimes that sort of helps you go on a hot run. It's not necessarily a bad thing. But that was one of the differences in this season as well. A
lot of bad baseball in that best-of-3 series round.
The WNBA, other than the location change, basically the same playoff structure.
Okay.
And the NBA we already talked about, there was just the play-in game. That's the other thing. So again, the Lakers didn't go through some weird... Yeah?
I have one thing about baseball.
Okay.
Because I remember this vividly. Shout out to, I think, Seth Rosenthal at our former place of employment, Secret Base, made a video about the 2020 Dodgers.
Yeah.
I think I'm like paraphrasing on a guess here. the one complaint levied against people who were mad at the Dodgers for like, oh, that title didn't count. It wasn't games played, Ryan. Do you remember what it was?
No.
Pitching rest.
Oh, yeah, sure. That
pitching rest,
yeah,
was a huge factor.
Yeah.
There was no travel,
yep,
inside of the two bubbles in Houston and Dallas.
And you would, well, I mean, you also had just completed, you also hadn't gone through a full season.
Yes.
Like, by and large, I think if you're looking at what was the most different, the idea of, oh, we knocked 100 games off the schedule and threw off everything that we're sort of used to in baseball in terms of, like, it matters when you get hot. Like, it doesn't matter when you get hot.
No.
If you're playing a 60-game schedule.
No. And we're recording this right now in August, which was, I was listening to an interview with a pitcher for the Brewers. Like, I heard it on at the gym. And it's this really dangerous month and change where, like, the Brewers are red hot. Mm-hmm. How do you maintain that? Do you press? Do you try and win games? Do you like, it's all this sort of like pseudoscience of like, how hot do you need to be entering the playoffs? So it's also like, well, what are pitchers on a count? Like, do we have an innings count on our starters? All this kind of stuff. None of that mattered in 20.
Right.
So far, baseball feels, I'm not discrediting the Dodgers or whatever, because the Braves were in the NLCS and I'd have sure as hell counted that title.
Yeah.
It's just different. It's just very, very, very different.
Yeah. I think that's fair. Yeah. All right. So here's my last category, and then we're gonna get into a little side quest here as well.
Okay.
This is the one that I think really explains the way we feel about most of these teams. If we look at what you were before the bubble,
mm-hmm,
and what you were after the bubble, were you a contender or not? Like, I think a lot of how we want to process this comes down to, do we think you got lucky and happened to win a title when the past and the future suggested that that was bullshit? We'll start with college football again. It's Alabama.
And Ohio State.
Like the Alabama had won so many titles and had been in so many title games that, like, in no way was it, it would have been impossible to suggest that
they were. As someone who was writing and covering the sport in 2020, the standard operating, like, logic was that the most organized programs with the least amount of coaching or personnel turnover would survive and flourish in 20. And for the most part, at the very top of the sport, that held true.
I think even Ohio State, even six game regular season Ohio State, if they had beaten Alabama, I think we would have forgiven them the shortness of their season.
Yeah, totally.
Because they had beaten Alabama.
Yes.
And because they're Ohio State.
Now, there are a lot of aberrations inside 2020, like a lot. Like, it's Jimbo Fisher's best season at Texas A&M by a
terrible
mile.
Penn State season.
A freakish Penn State season. An exceptional Coastal Carolina season. You can go through and find a lot of 2020 aberrations. 100%. And I've thrown a lot of them out in doing analysis and... Also, by the way, a lot of athletic directors have thrown them out in considering coaches, both positive and negative, you know? But it didn't affect the championship.
No.
We saw the usual suspects in the championship.
Yes, and I think it probably was net easier that it was Alabama, and then it was Alabama pretty comfortably in that game. It's like, okay, that's a thing in a weird way. That's comforting. We're getting back to normal.
It was semi-reassuring, I think, just because you're like, oh, well, yeah, because, like, I always called the Saban Alabama years, that's the machine that kills doubt.
Right.
And so any uncertainty outside of the building in which the entire world was uncertain, Nick Saban's like, I mean, this is the guy who looked up, saw 9/11 happening, and resumed his staff meeting at LSU. That's a true story.
Before we continue our tour of bubble history, let's pause for a quick message from our sponsor, Homefield. Now, you may have noticed that my co-host, Stephen Godfrey, was a little bit under the weather on this taping, and while we can chalk that up to back-to-school crud, we can also remind Stephen, via this ad read, hey man, self-care matters. Gotta get good sleep, gotta stay hydrated, make sure you're eating your vegetables, and of course, wear your home field. These singularly beautiful designs on immensely comfortable crew necks, hoodies, tees, hats, sweatpants, and so forth remind your body that it deserves to be taken care of. It's a long football season, and if you want to be in great health when the home field can't miss kickoff tour presented by Modelo swings by your neck of the woods, you gotta take care of yourself. Get your flu shot and then pop on that home field fleece. Now, medically, the fleece doesn't technically do anything, but why chance it? Can you tell that I'm not a doctor? Doesn't matter. because I'm a very comfortable not a doctor. Okay, back to the show. All right, let's do two other easy ones. The NFL. The Bucs had not been good in the years preceding this Super Bowl, but
yeah,
this is the offseason that they went and got Tom Brady and Gronk.
Yeah, that's to me, those aren't comparable.
And the year after this, the year after they won the Super Bowl, they still won 13 games. They didn't get back to the Super Bowl and they didn't repeat. But I think I think if a non-Tom Brady Bucs had won the Super Bowl, maybe would have felt differently about it. But on the other hand, they destroyed the Chiefs in that game on defense specifically. Like they pushed them around. It did not look competitive.
Again, smell test, and that defense looked really good in the Super. Like it wasn't just a Tom Brady effort, but also, and I guess you could throw in the following season providing some sort of consistency. I don't think anybody would have blanched at that. Yeah. And again, it also helps the team they beat was a power.
Yes,
it was Pat Mahomes. It was the Chiefs. It didn't feel wonky.
Right. The last easy one. The WNBA. Seattle Storm won the finals this year. They had won it in 2018. This is like the Sue Bird era. They were perpetually thought of as one of the WNBA's best teams. Was it maybe a little bit of an easier path to do so? Sure, but it was not what an undeserving champion.
No, having a title 2 years prior, I think certifies you as again, it's kind of like college football. Like a known quantity is able to create some stability and win.
All right, so now I'm going to amp the difficulty up a little bit.
Okay.
Let's talk about the Dodgers. The Dodgers were a very, very good team in the seven seasons before this. They had, in each of those 7 years, they had over 90 wins. They had been to the World Series twice and lost. They had two other losses in the championship series. And after this World Series, they kept going. They had three straight seasons of 100-plus wins. But didn't get back to the World Series until they just won last fall against the Yankees. But zooming way out, I think you could say that the Dodgers at this point were something of a playoff disappointment, but not a team that people looked at and said, you just happened to get lucky and get hot for 60 games and you weren't legit before. Dodgers were consistently a team that you would look at in the preseason and say, they should make it at least, to the championship series, if not to the World Series.
I find myself defending LA a lot, and I don't know why in Major League Baseball, but there was a narrative that was accurate that they could spin their way through any offseason problem and then did have postseason issues.
Yes.
The thing about this was, as a fan of a sort of would-be dynasty of the 90s that had that happen, a lot's changed in Major League Baseball, and there's a randomness that starts, especially in the Major League Baseball postseason, in the late teens, mid to late teens, where the Washington Nationals won a World Series in a year in which they were firmly in last place, I think in July or August.
Yeah.
There are a lot of just sort of strange things that the randomness and the uncertainty of Major League Baseball's playoff format, even when they would tweak it and change it or whatever, it wasn't producing... It was producing basically either too much parity or creating a platform where luck was the only explanation for a lot of things.
You could get unbalanced teams, but as long as the weaker team could win three games, that's it.
Second thing in context that I have to mention before somebody screams all the way through space-time in their car and I can hear it, there's the whole Astros thing that happens, although I'm pro and I don't give a shit, pro Astros on that. Yes, entering 2020, Ryan, the Dodgers are a postseason disappointment, but I just find that it all falls apart this is the only way the Dodgers could win a title. Yeah. Not because they won it in 2024, because they went to the National League Championship Series and lost in six the following year and have been a perennial playoff team ever since. Right. I guess what I'm getting at is if you look at the Yankees spent a lot of money, they've struggled in the postseason in this era of ball. There are a lot the high-spending teams are still not finding a lock, a consistency of we're World Series year after year. That hasn't really happened.
Yeah.
So, they won it in 2020, but somebody had to, I guess is where I'm going.
I think that's right.
Yeah. I don't know why I defend the Dodgers so often.
Let's talk about hockey. Tampa had won the President's Cup in 2019, but do you remember what they did in the playoffs that year?
Ate it.
They got swept out of the first round so badly that they had to write a widely mocked apology mm-hmm. letter to the fans on social media. It was one of the biggest bummers I've seen in some
shout time. Out to Hockey Fights, a social media account. It's mainly on Instagram that catalogs every fight in hockey, NHL, AHL, all the way down to the minors and juniors and stuff. They would transpose Crying Jordan meme onto different teams, and that year with Tampa, they had a field day.
So,
But let me cut you off.
Yeah.
Aren't they already a dynasty at this point?
No. So they're not.
I've got it backwards.
Yes. So they win the Stanley Cup again in 2021. 2021 is also a weird year for the NHL where the schedule has to get tweaked because basically they started, like, the playoffs started late, so it kind of bled into how what they did the next season. And 2021 is also when we could do a full, yeah.
I think you might be glossing this over, and we can stop and look this up.
Yeah.
I'm somewhat certain in my weird, hazy COVID recollection that the Tampa Bay Lightning hoist a Stanley Cup, and we are back playing hockey again in a matter of weeks.
So to answer your question, the Lightning won this Stanley Cup, second one in franchise history, on September 28th, 2020.
Right.
And then the regular season started on January 1st, 2021.
Okay, so it wasn't quite as compact.
It wasn't quite as compact, but like there was a lot of stuff that had to happen in between there.
So it was a 90-day off season.
Mm-hmm. And as a result,
doesn't include preseason camp and stuff, Ryan, and like free agency, like.
So the 2020-2021 season was 56 games.
Okay.
So that's that. They did have to play a shorter season there as well.
I remember that, yeah.
This was also where there was a lot of controversy about, this is where we could do a whole separate episode of this, about like basically how the Lightning were manipulating the roster and the cap and things like that to sort of like build a team in ways that felt unfair. So this was
not related to COVID.
Not related to COVID.
So this is more like Saints cap hell.
A little bit. Yeah. Okay. Like I said, this would require us to sort of extend this episode in ways that we're not going to do today. But okay. I guess what I'm saying is 2021, where they repeat as Stanley Cup champions, was a short season and had its own flimflammery, let's call it.
Yeah, I just remember it was like basically first week of October, you're holding a Stanley Cup, and then December you're skating for preseason.
Yes. They also return to the Stanley Cup final in 2022. They don't win that one. So I think on the whole, people look at it and say,
this was a good hockey team. It's a good franchise.
This was a good hockey team.
Championship pieces.
Yes. And to go to the final 3 years in a row, I think sort of excuses whatever you want to say. I will also say, looking back at sort of like news reports, I think at least the players and maybe the personnel involved, I think people thought the hockey bubble was much harder for people to deal with because a lot of these teams were much farther away from their families. They were there for a really long period of time. The NBA, I believe, had an earlier family access period where you could sort of like have screened people come in and like spend time with you. Like these guys spent a lot of time. And also like, look, not for nothing, the NBA players got to go to Disney. And everybody else got to go to Canada in winter and sort of hole up in hotel rooms. And, like, you know, it was the kind of thing where it was like, okay, this team's on this floor. And this team's on this floor. And there's no mingling. And there's no leaving. You can't go to other people's rooms and stuff. Like, broadly speaking, I think the NHL bubble was more challenging in some ways than the NBA bubble was. I'm not saying the NBA wasn't, but.
So does this feed, like, sort of the online message board mentality that some teams bailed on purpose? Or took a dive. They're like, hey guys, I'd so much rather go home.
I don't think we'll ever get anybody to actually speak up on that, or we haven't so far.
Well, I'll probably need a couple more years to go by. Yeah.
And lastly, the team that we started with, let's talk about the NBA.
Okay.
The Lakers before this season had missed the playoffs for 6 consecutive years.
Oh.
Since this title, they have only won, which we've had 5 seasons since then.
Okay.
They've only won 2 playoff series at all.
Oh.
Now, LeBron had just, this was his second year in LA. He had just got there the year before. The team was sort of a mess. He got injured his first season. That's a big reason why they missed the playoffs. And he had been to the finals. So that's year one. The 4 years before that, he had led Cleveland to the finals 4 years in a row. So LeBron was certainly capable of this. Has not demonstrated, the Lakers and LeBron have not demonstrated that since then. And the Lakers were down bad in the sort of like immediate years leading up to this.
This feels like important context as a know-nothing in the NBA. Yes. This feels like, oh, so this is where Daryl Morey's coming from.
Yeah, so I like rings culture is its own thing in the NBA, and that could also be a whole nother episode. But I think there is an element of people feel like people A, who probably don't like the Lakers that much in the first place, and B, who sort of are trying to judge like who's legit and who's not, are like, well, if you were a deserving champ, if you were not an asterisk title winner here, you would have made it back to another Western Conference Finals.
Yeah,
you would have. You know, battled the Nuggets or whoever, you know, you would have like put up some good fight and given us some good playoff moments in the 5 years since then. And the complete failure to do so, I think weirdly sort of adds to the case that what they did in 2020 to some people was bullshit.
Okay. Two questions.
Yeah.
Was this a particularly talented LeBron team as in like not LeBron, but supporting pieces?
Sure.
And I don't know, I'm asking. And then two, my recollection of again, like late teens, early 20s NBA is that we're having these, and I'm going to get the dates wrong. I'm not even going to try for the dates. But as someone who just casts a casual eye at the NBA, Toronto won a championship. Milwaukee won a championship. Oklahoma City just won a championship.
Mm-hmm.
We're not in a dynasty era, and isn't it?
But I don't think we knew that at this point because again, the Cavs had just gone to four. They'd played the Warriors in a bunch of these.
Like, yeah, we're coming off of Golden State and Cleveland back and forth. Okay, I don't know. I'm asking. Like,
so if we're to answer your first question, like who else is on this team? This is probably without looking, and some NBA enthusiasts gonna yell at me about this. This is one of the better years Anthony Davis has. He plays in 62 games. He finishes sixth in MVP voting, second in Defensive Player of the Year voting.
Okay.
He averages more points than LeBron this year. He's the leading scorer on the team from a points average point of view. They have Kyle Kuzma has a good year here. Deion Waiters is on this team and is pretty good. Dwight Howard is like a useful sixth man. Dwight Howard has a ring? Dwight Howard has a ring, yes. I think specifically through the lens of like LeBron and Anthony Davis, this was the best it ever worked.
Okay. So.
And I think the fact that, like, I think the Anthony Davis of this probably plays into a little bit.
So is Davis less effective in the following years?
I mean, Anthony Davis's problem is largely that, yes, he's less effective, but it's like, so like I said, he started and played in 62 games this year.
Yeah.
He doesn't do that again until 23-24, where he plays in 76 games.
Okay. So again, this doesn't really push me off of imposter. Or sorry, push me into imposter. Yeah. I'm still just kind of shrugging at this.
Yeah.
Who'd they beat, by the way?
The Heat.
How is that?
The Jimmy Butler Heat.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm still having a tough time with this because it feels like, as NBA super casual, that the narrative I get, seventh hand, is that since LeBron has been in Los Angeles, they haven't really orchestrated a great roster around him. So maybe some pieces clicked in this one situation.
It's also worth noting that, like, they beat Portland in the first round 4-1.
Okay.
They beat Houston in the semifinals 4-1.
All right.
They beat the Nuggets in the conference finals 4-1. They beat the Heat in the NBA finals 4-2. Like, no series went to seven games, and only one went past five.
So it was like an NBA conspiracy head just being like, they gave a shit, or like, this was a orchestrated, like,
I think there's probably an argument. So I think
I've not seen it so far.
I think there's two arguments that are put forth here. One, the lack of travel. I think for certain players and certain teams, you can argue like, well, that's just more rest that they get, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
I think also because there was a big stopping point between here's, the Utah Jazz getting pulled off the court and the bubble starting. That was valuable rest for maybe a player like LeBron James, who...
How old was he at the time?
This is his 16th year in the league. So, he's like 34, 35.
Okay.
Now,
But Ryan, everyone else got that time off.
Oh, yeah, sure. I get it. And I think there has been an argument made that the other thing that sort of gets thrown out here is that, like, the Lakers were the one seed in the West, and they would have been the one seed in the NBA Finals. So, like, to the extent that we care about home court or home field advantage, they're the ones who didn't benefit from it. And I did pull some numbers here because I had to. I looked at 2000 to 2019, the postseason in all the sports except college football, because we don't play, you know, until this last year, we don't play postseason games on home or away campuses. And in the NBA and the WNBA, the home team wins playoff games 64% and 63% of the time.
Okay.
So it shows up there. The NFL is about the same at 64%, but obviously there's a sample size thing going on there.
Yeah.
And in baseball and hockey, it's more like 54-55%. Like, is
that's interesting.
Yeah. So part of me kind of thinks, like, well, I do think there's an argument to be made that the Lakers maybe didn't benefit from this setup, because if they would have had all these home games, and home teams usually do really well in basketball, that's a thing they lost, not that the teams that they faced lost.
Correct. Yeah.
There's one other number I want to give you here. At this point in his career, LeBron James had 62 career road playoff wins. So if you want to say, like, well, the real advantage of the bubble was you never had to play in a hostile environment against a hostile crowd. In leading up to the bubble playoff, he had more career road playoff wins than anybody, according to StatFinder, than Tim Duncan, who had 63. And LeBron had the better winning percentage, slightly, but he had won more. He had won 52.5% of his road games.
Wow.
In the playoffs. Duncan was 51.2.
Okay.
Blocked by James, that's a road game. That's in Golden State. 25 straight points in Game 5 against the Pistons, still one of the most amazing basketball things I've ever watched live on television. That's on the road in Detroit. 45-15 to avoid elimination by the Celtics, that's on the road. So, like, I think whichever way you want to slice it, I think the unusualness or the sort of, like, sanctity of the bubble environment was not what pushed the Lakers over the top. I think if you want to say rest pushed them over the top, I can get there. But ultimately, I think why Daryl Morey and lots of other people look at the Lakers and say, of all these teams we've talked about, they're the biggest asterisk.
Yeah.
It's because they haven't done shit since then.
Yeah, I think that's it. And that's
which is
all.
A very wild way to judge something that happened in a contained period of time.
Entering the 25-26 NBA season, the likelihood of the Lakers winning the title, I'm not asking for an actual percentage. I'm saying, like, it is the Dodgers solved for 2020 by winning in 24. Sure. That's just not talked about anymore. Yeah. So I'm curious, like, if LeBron ekes one out before retirement in LA,
I don't think it'll change how people view it, because people will say, well, they went out and traded for Luka. I think obviously lots of members of the Dodgers are different now.
Yeah.
Or last season than were in the bubble season, but
The Dodgers have this perception, accurate, I think, of Major League Baseball or in Major League Baseball, of just that organization just hoovers up any available premier free agent. So they did not have Ohtani, they did not have Freddie Freeman, they did not have, I think Mookie was on that team, but, like, going on down the line, rotation was also very different.
No, I think the Lakers are always going to be stuck with this label because of the 5 years they had since then.
Well, I have two thoughts.
Okay.
One, on behalf of men in their mid-40s, I will fuck you up if you give me 2 weeks to nap first. So maybe there's a theory there that LeBron's 35-year-old legs were, like, maybe there was a sort
and didn't
of dominance.
Have no kids around.
Keep talking to me.
Yeah, oof, sure.
Oof, this is delightful. and then the only thing I can add is this. I've been a fan of all my years of fandom. I've seen two titles. It was the same franchise, and one of those titles was in 2021. And when Atlanta won the World Series in 21, it was on the heels of losing the NLCS in 2020. And it was a conversation that I had with, I think, my dad, around New Year's going into 2022. Around the holidays, we saw each other, and it just kind of came up. And it was weird because, like, we couldn't have had the conversation until we won a title.
Yeah.
but we both admitted to one another, I'm glad it happened this year and not last year. And would I still count it or tout it? I definitely would. And like, merch. Yeah. And like the Dodgers should do the same. Yes. And I don't like, I'm fine with it. But what is that feeling? What, yeah. Why did we do that? Like, why did we say like, okay, well, like this one, you know, for sure. Like, you know, and I, some of that was like that I knew I had a lot of friends. I didn't go to the World Series games that year, but like I had friends who did, and God knows those are amazing memories. And like, so it was part of that, like fans getting to attend. But yeah. Then also in the sort of sports bar argument, it was like, well, this was a real season. We encountered everything that you normally would in a real season. So it sounds like this is a little like your theory today, the question we're asking, it's a little bit more about sort of the existential feelings of the person posing this argument.
Yeah.
Like, because all I remember is this. The Lakers held up the same trophy that the who won the NBA Finals the next year? Wow, okay. Milwaukee or something? Like, let's just say it was, they held up the same trophy that Milwaukee did. All right?
Yeah, it was, yeah, you got it, you know.
Okay. Yep. The Dodgers held up the same trophy that the Braves did.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth. Like, it doesn't matter, ultimately.
I'm going to say something that I don't know if I've ever said out loud.
Yeah?
I think Pat McAfee was right.
God damn it.
I think the world was so weird and so stressful that if you won a championship in this stretch and people want to put an asterisk on it, it's actually, you should wear it as a badge of honor. Be like, yep, won a title during one of the most baffling and frustrating years of sports in modern history.
The most Floridian thing you've ever said was that it was really hard on the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are all fucking Canadian, to go back to Canada and sit in a hotel room because it's cold. That is the most Floridian thing that you've said.
Phantom Island is produced by Michael Serber and presented by Homefield. Our theme music by King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard comes from the song Phantom Island from their album of the same name. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back soon.